Welcome to the Daily Canon Podcast.
Hello again, listeners. Welcome to a bonus edition of the Daily Canon Weekly Podcast, as it's celebration time. Hey, we signed a player and he's good. Woo! Yes, that's right. Shad Kolesnik has signed for... No, I'm kidding. Finally, Alexander Lacazette is here, wearing an Arsenal shirt, holding an Arsenal shirt while wearing an Arsenal shirt in the picture that they released, which was a little bit weird, but he's here, he's ours, he's on the website wearing 00, which I hope to God is a placeholder, but you wouldn't know these days. Bentner wore 3 at Wolfsburg, so we'll see in the next few days what happens there, but here to talk about what Lacazette can give the Arsenal is our favourite and, quite frankly, best France football expert, Lana Dowd. Lana, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I'm obviously over the moon, but you may sense, listener, that our French football expert is not so joyful about Lacazette leaving Lyon.
No, I have no idea what you're on about. I'm thrilled. Just in case you listeners didn't know, Alexander Lacazette has signed for Arsenal, finally, after a decade of scouting him.
Like, you'd think after 10 years of looking at someone, you would actually finally ask them out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some like to move on fast while others take their time. It's admirable. I think it's romantic in a way.
So Wenger's finally pulled. He's got his man. £46.5 million. Seems a little cheap, no? I mean, the question is how good is Lacazette and how is he going to fit in at Arsenal? Obviously, you've seen him play dozens, if not 100 times over the last 5 years. I mean, what kind of player is Alexander Lacazette?
He's a goalkeeper, actually, who's scored, you know, breached the 20-goal barrier in League One for 3 consecutive seasons now. Not bad. No, he's a striker that originally started out as a winger for Lyon back in 2010-11. And it wasn't until 3 seasons ago that he was converted into a striker, much like Henry previously, Martial have in the past. So it's not unusual for French strikers to start out wide and then being shifted into the center. So, yeah, he is 26 years old, as I'm sure most of the Arsenal fans know, about to hit his peak. And has done something not many can claim to that honor by scoring more than 20 goals for 3 consecutive seasons. Zlatan didn't do it. Cavani didn't. Henri didn't do it. You'd have to go back to, what, like early 90s? That's when I was born. For Jean-Pierre Papin, who did it last. So it's a really good feat for him that he can brag about. So he's not just a one-season wonder, as many like to call him. He's not just a penalty merchant, as some others may call him. And he's a great striker, someone who is going to shine for Arsenal and take them to the next level, hopefully. Maybe grab that one piece of silverware that they've been craving since 2004.
Yeah. Or it's a little bit weird to evaluate him as a player, because the last 3 seasons he's scored goals, but he's almost played in 3 different systems. I mean, he played 1 year almost to the right of Gomez, and then the next year he played with a number 10 behind him in Fekir, who's left footed and knows how to pass the ball, which should be great news for Arsenal fans, because you know we have a left footed lad who likes to pass the ball a bit. And then last year, he played as a number 9 in a 4-3-3. So he's played in 3 completely unique roles, yet consistently delivered, you know, 20 goals a season. I mean, is that a showing of how good he is, or is it just a showing of how versatile he is?
That's the thing. His versatility is something that many often forget about, because one, they might not follow him as much as, say, French League One, you know, French fans do, League One fans, Lyon fans. But he is so extremely versatile, something that not many players are. During his time at Lyon, he's played as a lone striker, part of a 2-man front line, and as a central player in a 3-man attack, basically anywhere. And it's so hard in today's football to find a striker that's so versatile as him, that consistently scores 25 plus goals each season. Yet for some strange reason, there's not enough buzz about him, solely because he plays in France and he's behind this the striker that currently plays for Arsenal. But that has nothing to do with the fact that he's a bad player or anything like that. It's just that France plays a system that doesn't benefit Lacazette as much as it does Giroud.
I was gonna say that the most commonly held argument against Arsenal buying Lacazette is that he can't get ahead of Giroud in the first team, and it would hardly say that that's a fallacy, but it's one of the most boneheaded things I think I've ever heard. We've seen how Giroud doesn't fit into the. Giroud's a fine player, and he'll be missed if he does indeed go to Everton at the end of the week. But the way Arsenal need to play, as we saw at the end of the season, if we're going to play counter-attack football, we need speed, we need work rate, we need movement. Especially when we've got Ozil and Sanchez, if he stays. If those two are playing the way they were playing at the end of the season, but they were both dropping back and playing through balls for the runners, you need someone who makes runs. And Lacazette's work rate is, to me, his biggest asset, because he won't stop running for Ozil. He won't stop running for Sanchez. And that's what this team needs right now. It needs runners. And Giroud, for his goal-scoring ability, and again, if you were to make a 6-minute or 7-minute YouTube clip of everything Giroud did at Arsenal that looks good, it would be unbelievable. But the way we need to play now, he just doesn't fit. And Lacazette does. And the way Deschamps wants to play football for France, Lacazette doesn't fit.
You sound smart compared to the rest of the Arsenal fans. I wish everyone had that smart, logical thinking. We need more of that. So I wouldn't have to be so angry and defensive every time I had to defend him. It would save me a lot of energy if people would just bother to watch a France game and a Lyon game, understand that Deschamps isn't someone who's logical, someone who would think forward compared to maybe someone else. I mean, if you look at the players called up, if you're going to use that logic that Lacazette is a crap player because he can't get ahead of Giroud, then you don't need to look further than the fact that Sissoko is a first choice player for France's midfield. And then you go and look at all the French midfield options we have with the likes of Adrien Rabiot, Tolisso, Bakayoko, Lemar, Pogba. I mean, come on, the options are so long, the list is endless, yet we stick with someone like Blaise Matuidi and Sissoko, because that's what Trump's want. It's all about his favorites, and Lacazette is not his favorite. And he plays for Lyon, so that's also something. So hopefully that will change now, because whenever a player has left Lyon, they automatically get called up to the national team. Umtiti is an example, Tolisso is one. And now you see Lacazette, maybe he'll get a call up more often.
Well, we can only hope. I mean, as long as he doesn't get injured when he's playing for France. That's how this usually ends for Arsenal. We buy someone really good and he gets injured straight away.
Yeah. You better pray that he continues to call up Giroud ahead of Lacazette.
Well, I hope so. Now I definitely hope so. Like you said earlier, we've spent a decade scouting him. I mean, why do you think it took so long?
The thing is, he didn't break through until 3 years ago. I mean, the talent has always been there. Lyon is one of the best academies in Europe. Yeah. At one point, it was the very best. They rely solely on their academy to bring through players because they don't have the same finance as PSG does. They're starting 11, 8 of them are academy players. So it's a huge credit to the fact that they have such a brilliant academy that Lacazette was able to come through. The same with Tolisso, Umtiti, Jordan Ferry, Fekir, all these players, they've come through and then on gone on to bigger things. And this is Lacazette. When Gomez left and Lissandro left, they were forced to start thinking about their finance. Okay, now we need to go to our academy and start bringing these players through. he started out really well in his first season when he was converted into the center. He was scored 26 goals, did really well. Then his second season came with Fekir, who was, you know, playing a deeper role. His vision, his skills, his range of passing allowed Lacazette to be so clinical as he has been. And you saw how Lacazette struggled when Fekir got injured during a national team, during the irrelevant game against Portugal ahead of the Euros that led to Fekir being out for over a year. That was such a big blow to Lyon and to Lacazette, but also a blessing in disguise because that allowed Lacazette to evolve as a player. He became more involved in, you know, bringing others into play. You often see in the attacks that Lyon started, he would always drop deep, start the attack, then run up to, you know, finish them. Scoring, creating, he's created, 35 plus chances in the last three seasons. That's not bad for someone who plays in such a young and inexperienced team as Lyon do. So the fact that people, you know, often just refer to him as someone who scores penalties just shows how little they see of him. He scored 91 goals and 18 of them were penalties. It's not his fault that he's the, you know, club's penalty taker. He steps up, he takes the responsibility to score, and people act like it's so easy to score a penalty, but it isn't.
He just seems to me one of those players who is built to fit into and I'm not calling Lyon a small team here, but he seems like a player that can fit in. When you've got three or four big name players, they all have to like sacrifice a little bit of their game just so everyone else can get some in. You saw it at Barcelona with Neymar, how much Neymar and Suarez have to sacrifice for Messi. You know, how much Benzema and Morata and Bale have to sacrifice for Ronaldo. And at Arsenal, someone has to do the running for Ozil. And someone has to do the passing for Sanchez. And I just seems like it's the perfect fit. I cannot think of a better striker.
He is.
Just to play beside those two. And okay, if Sanchez goes, fine. But then if you're still playing 3-4-2-1, you could still have a Welbeck, or, you know, bring in a left winger or a Bergarit and play Lacazette left wing, and he'd do the same job as Sanchez. Not to the same level, but almost. Like, he's just really, really, really good.
He's amazing. He is not only lethal, but he combines clinical finish with such a great movement. His pace, his trickery, his power, and that's the thing. He's also bulked up a lot from, you know, the previous seasons. He's become stronger, and yes, he's not the strongest in the year. He makes up with it with his understanding of where to be, where to find the space in the box, and he's so intelligent, and he's at his best when he's dropping off the last defender to create time and space needed to get a shot into goal. And that's also something that not many strikers are intelligent enough to understand where to be at the right time. And I think with someone as special and unique as Ozil, he's going to benefit so much from someone as Lacazette. And he's going to come into a team with more than just one creative player, because it was either Fekir or maybe Valbuena, Chazal, whenever he decided to show up. So going from one or two creative players to having four and five at Arsenal will benefit so much more. He will probably score more goals as well. And his, you know, just the ability to be at the right place at the right time has so much to say for someone who, as special as Ozil, you know, who creates all these chances, but there's no one there to finish them off.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's going to be the knock-on effect. Like, even if we say that Alexis goes, like, Lacazette and his movement will make Ozil better. It'll make Aaron Ramsey better. Might want to make him fitter, because he's not a doctor or even a miracle worker, but his movement taking the centre-back out of the way will create acres of room for Ramsey to run through. If he makes runs off the shoulder of the last man, Jack will be able to find him from 40 yards away for sport. You know, it's... I can't... Usually, it's very easy to say, ah, yeah, but he's not this, but he's not that. But is there a big flaw in his game?
Sometimes there might be. He has this tendency. I don't know if it's more with the fact that he wanted to leave last summer, but he decided to stay on due to the Champions League and due to Fekir's injury. Sometimes he has this tendency to give up too easily, something we've seen less of in the last season compared to, you know, last season. As, you know, as time goes on, he's matured as well. So you don't see that typical, you know, young striker giving up too easily because he loses a ball or his team goes down a goal. Obviously, anyone's going to be upset if you are a goal down and losing, but he's matured so much as a player. He's not just a young striker coming through. He's also a leader, a captain, someone that will be hugely missed at Lyon. No matter who you buy to replace him, what he brought to that team is so undervalued, you know, from the outside perspective. Because we as fans who followed him know just how much he brings to a team. You could see it, the difference between Lyon with him and without him was, you know, as day and night. So he brings so much more to his game now compared to last season. He's grown, and I don't want to say there's a lot of, you know, negativities about him now than compared to before. So I don't have so much to, you know, bash him for. With the exception of that he sometimes might give up too easily. That's about it.
We've seen that from Arsenal in the past, where the going gets tough, everyone gets going home.
Yeah,
you know?
But that's changed now because you saw it. If, I don't know if you saw the Roma game,
yeah.
Where they went down, then they came back, then they went down again. But he kept that team moving. He kept them pushing and pushing, and in the end, they came back and won 4-2. He scored the fourth goal in that
cracking
celebration.
Goal.
Yeah, and that was such a great goal. You know, he's not only clinical in the box, but also outside. So, you know, he can shoot from far, so that shouldn't be an issue either. And you saw that epic celebration. That was iconic.
Yeah. Oh, that's the classic. Look at me. Yep. I scored. That was me. That's right. I put that in the top corner. Yep, me. Yeah, look at me. Yeah, which is what we all want to do when we score a screamer, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, there's very little to do other than to go, yay! We did it! We got a striker! Now place good, don't sell Sanchez. Please.